Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes. A Monday morning, Taz and the Moose with you, back together again right here on CBS Sports Radio as we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Mike Pete across the way, Bogish with your updates. Hopefully everyone out there had themselves a lovely weekend. What's going on, Taz? How you doing, bud?
Oh. Yeah. All right. Hope you had a great weekend.
I did. Thank you.
All right. Everything's
you
fine.
All right over there?
Everything's okay. I'm good. You're good. I'm good. Everybody's good.
We're all good.
I think we're okay. Yes.
Good to see you again. And we got a lot to get into. Yes. On a big Monday morning program as we go right for the next 180 minutes. So, Taz, there's a lot of ways we can kick off the program. Let's go back to Saturday, right?
Yes.
And the Tua Tagovailoa injury for the Alabama Crimson Tide. We know a talented quarterback. We know a guy that stepped in, helped Saban win a national championship at Alabama. We know a guy that's been oft injured as well, dealing with high ankle sprains, did last year, and certainly was able to recover. Did go in earlier this year, was able to recover, had the surgery before the LSU game, a game they eventually lost at home to LSU and to your Heisman Trophy favorite, Joe Burrow. And then comes Saturday, a game in which they were a lofty, heavy favorite against Mississippi State. They're rolling 35-7. It's the end of the first half. Tua stays in the game after a conversation with Saban. Unfortunately, during that next series that he's in, gets hit while on the move, scrambling out to his left. On the move, gets taken to the ground and suffers a hip dislocation and a fracture to the posterior wall of his hip. Surgery is going to take place today. And honestly, for Tua, and put the team aside here for a second, for him individually, I mean, you with the comparisons of Bo Jackson, I heard some say Dennis Pitta, it is a devastating injury for Tua. It really is.
Yeah, it's horrible. I mean, first off, hopefully the young man, after his surgery, recovers great, no matter if it's football or not football, whatever, because it's a nasty injury. It's a bad injury. And I personally feel bad for him. He's a 21-year-old kid. I mean, that's, at the end of the day, he's a star player. We know all that. He's out there for the world to see. He's the Alabama quarterback. He's going to be in the NFL draft as the first or second pick, whatever. But at the end of the day, he's still someone's 21-year-old son, his parents, and that, And it's just not. I have a kid who's 20 years old, so I can relate to this, So I feel bad for him in general, that he got hurt like this. It's interesting. I mean, some people are saying, I love your take too, Moose. Like, it's 35-7, and it's you're on the cusp of halftime, right? And then he's still in the game. You're playing Mississippi State. You're destroying Mississippi State. They have no shot. You could tell. I mean, but it's not even the third quarter yet. So I personally have a problem with Saban still having him in the game. Maybe you do. I'm not going to die on that hill. But I know a lot of people had that kind of stance and that narrative, like, hey, should Nick Saban kept this kid in the game? I mean, my view, it wasn't even halftime yet. We're a couple minutes away from halftime. But, I watched some of this game, and I actually was watching it when he got hurt. And I'm like, oh, geez. And I don't know. I mean, do you feel like you should have taken him out of the game before?
I don't. I would say this. You can never. I mean, I think it's kind of like really the ultimate Monday morning quarterback to be ripping Saban for keeping him in the game. I did not have an issue at the time or now of him staying in the game at 35-7. The only issue I would have, or the only thing that, you know, it's not normal, is that he's a fragile player. And he's coming off a high ankle sprain to where the week previous against LSU, Taz, he was limping off the field.
Yeah.
So you're leading the game 35-7. And I understand he wanted one or two-minute offense, and I saw the video of him going up to Saban, as we all did, as they're about to gain possession, and Mac is warming up, their backup quarterback, and he convinces Saban or tells Saban that he wants to stay in the game, and they're going to run that two-minute offense. I mean, if you're Saban there, you say, I've got a quarterback that's coming off an injury that we know is battling back from that injury, already had a surgery. It's 35-7. We're dominating the game. The game has pretty much been decided already. Do I really need to be greedy here and keep him in a game, you know, and run a two-minute offense against Mississippi State? Because really, what am I going to learn about a two-minute offense against Mississippi State? Because, you know, honestly, they're by far a superior team.
Right, right.
Well, when you look at the Bulldogs as compared to the Crimson Tide. So what are you going to learn? I mean, that would be the only thing that would come into, you know, I know Saban after the game, and we'll play some of his comments, said, well, you can never predict injury. That's true. You can't in the National Football League, nor can you be scared of guys getting hurt. However, you can be a little smarter in the process, too, when a game's been decided pretty much already, and you have a quarterback that has been shown a tendency to get hurt. And right, he is hurt. And he's not, he's shown you last week, he's not completely 100% healthy.
Well, true. That's true. I mean, and you hate to use those two words, injury prone, on any player, nevertheless a college athlete. But yeah, I mean, and I think we talked about this recently. I think I was saying something like this last week, I could have sworn. But yeah, it's like you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out the kid gets hurt a lot. But, you know, a lot of times these coaches, especially at this level, like Alabama football and Tua, you know, who he is as a player and his ranking and everything, they keep these guys in these games to pad their stats. That's what happens a lot. And you know.
Well, but then last year he didn't, right? And that was the knock on him not winning the Heisman Trophy, right? Is because, remember, he kept on taking him out of games and put Hurts into games. And,
that's right.
You know, we saw Kyler Murray having these unbelievable stats at Oklahoma, and then you were drawing a comparison, and basically Kyler Murray played the equivalent of like four more games.
I think it's around that number.
But yeah. It was, 15 or 16 more quarters than Tua because they kept on taking Tua out of the games and putting Hurts in
the game,
because the game was over.
Yeah.
Right? And the game was decided already.
That's true.
So,
that's very true.
I mean, so you had that. I guess I would look at it this way, Taz. I mean, you know, your son's a lacrosse player, right? If, you know, your son, and I remember you telling it, you know, he was dealing with a hamstring injury.
Freshman year.
Freshman year. So say he's recovering from that hamstring injury. They've got a big game. And the coach decides to put him into the game, right? Or they've got a game, and the coach decides, okay, he's healthy enough to play.
Yeah.
Game's decided, right? Lacrosse, they're leading, they're dominating the game.
Yeah, if you're up like by four goals, that's domination.
Okay,
usually,
so you're
let's say it's four goals.
Right, you're dominating the game.
Late in the game.
Right. And he decides to keep your son in the game. Is that a smart decision? I mean, and your son ends up like tearing his hamstring. And then he's done for the rest of the year.
No.
Is that a smart decision?
It's a bad decision. No. And as a parent, it would really kick me off. Not to get into it, when my son was a junior in high school, it happened. He didn't tear his hamstring. He was having a problem with a hamstring, but he strained it more where he almost had to miss a game. Because they kept him in the game when we were up by like six goals. And they kept him in the game. And you could see he was in pain. And it's like my wife was furious. We're sitting in the stands, obviously, and she was so mad. And you got parents like, why are they keeping your kid in the game? Like, I don't know, you know. But yeah, and it does bother you.
Yeah, of course.
And it bothered me a lot. I mean, you know, it's like, especially as a, you know, whatever. Yeah, it does bother you.
Yeah,
and
how could it not? Yeah, because that's not being smart.
No, it's not.
No one ever could have predicted. When he's staying in the game, I'm thinking more a case of him re-injuring the ankle, right?
Right.
I'm not thinking about the fact of him suffering a Bo Jackson, Dennis Pitta type of hip injury. That's some are questioning whether or not he's ever going to be able to play football at the level he played at before. I do think we got to, you know, be a little bit careful. And the surgery is going to take place today because everybody's rushing to get the information. And, you know, the Saban reaction we'll get to here momentarily here, Taz. But, you know, as you know, I mean, science and the medical field, they've advanced a lot.
It's a different world. Yeah,
it's a different world
ago.
Since
yeah,
Bo
yeah.
Jackson suffered that injury. The other thing is, when people bring up Bo Jackson, I get the injury. Bo Jackson's also, I believe, the blood vessels are going to his hip, where basically pinned. He lost blood flow to the hip, which led basically to a deterioration of the bone.
Right.
So
he was older too than two.
Right. I mean, so he was an older player as well. Right. So it's not an apples to apples comparison.
It's
Everyone's
not,
saying
no.
that, you know, oh, it's gonna be this. Listen, Dennis Pitta, who's a tight end in the National Football League, suffered the same
the
kind
Ravens,
of injury.
Right? Was it
what?
Ravens
yeah, correct, yeah. right? He came back, it was never the same.
No.
And I'm hoping that that Tua was able to come back and play quarterback, because that's the sad thing. That's the depressing thing. His remarkable toughness that he showed at Alabama, Taz. It would be an absolute shame if him battling through those injuries, getting back on the field, and then him suffering this kind of an injury, if it cost him his football career. Like, that would be, to me, heartbreaking
yeah.
and gut-wrenching. Like, that is, I look at it, I don't care about Alabama's national championship hopes with the backup quarterback.
Right,
I
right,
really don't at
right.
this stage. My concern, and as you mentioned it, Taz, I mean, our number one concern looking at it is, I hope that he's able to play football again. I really do. I hope that the doctors are able to get him back on the field, and they're saying he's going to make a full recovery. I hope he makes a full recovery.
Well, I think he will. I don't know. I've never had a hip injury. I know a lot of guys in wrestling have guys that I have issues with my hip now because of all the years of falling,
for sure.
bumping. That happens to wrestlers all the time as you get older. But I've never been injured in my hip area. But I know guys who have, and it's a nasty injury. But the thing is, like, from, you know, at Alabama and what I heard, they got the best doctors you're going to find that are going to perform surgery on this kid. So, you know, and like you nailed it, man. I mean, medicine and surgeries and all this jazz has come so far since the Bo Jackson days. You know, it's such a different world now. And this is athletes are in better shape than the athletes were back then. Their bodies are in better shape. Their nutrition's better. Everything's just better than they were years ago. My only point in bringing that part up, I'm not saying Tua's a better athlete than Bo Jackson. What I'm saying is their bodies are in better condition and trained, so you recover better.
Yeah, you know more now.
Right, yeah, right. But you recover quicker.
Sure.
Because your body's taken care of a certain way, especially with the nutrition part that no one talks about, but it's actually vital. The athletes talk about it, but people that cover it don't know much about it. But it's a big deal in keeping your body to recover once you come back from injury and being the shape that this kid's in. I personally think he's going to come back fine. I don't know the details of every little nook and cranny in his hip, but in today's day and age, and he's 21, he's going to recover pretty quick and pretty strong. I mean, I think he's going to recover, but the thing yeah. is, like, what's the narrative on him? What NFL scouts and coaches and GMs, what are they thinking about this kid?
Well, I mean, Taz,
I'm putting the cart ahead of the horse here with the surgery today.
I think it's going to be a massive question, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
really?
Because, he's never going to play college football again. I mean, that's it. So
there's no reason.
No, there's no reason for him to play college football and put his body on the line again. So you're talking about a player that's going to enter next April's NFL draft that had the potential to be the number one overall pick. And, you know, even if he makes a recovery, I don't know if a team's still going to take him number one overall. I really don't. I don't know how far he does drop. He's got to show that the hip is healthy. He's got to show that he's the same range of movement. He's got to show that he has the same accuracy. He's got to show that his delivery is not changed, or the velocity on the football, Taz, is not changed, that he's the same guy on the field. But the other thing that you call into question as well is, if a guy's injured in college, more often than not, when the hits get more violent and the game is faster, Taz, I'm not telling you, but we've seen it in a lot of different sports with a lot of different players. If a guy is hurt a lot in college, oftentimes they're hurt a lot in the National Football League.
Yeah. No,
I mean, that just comes along with the territory. I mean, it's unfortunate, but that's also something that is going to hang on to as well. Not only is he recovering from this, but some also question, you can love a player's talent, but if that player can't take the court or can't take the field and is sitting there, has got the headsets on or is in the NBA and wearing a suit on the bench, you know what? Does nothing for you.
No, of course not.
You can say,
he's
a remarkable talent. We're glad to have him. But if he can't play, he can't play.
Yeah. And you know, once you're in the NFL, too, just imagine it's a grind all year for these guys. The training they do, the requirements they do, season starts a lot, you know, as far as training camp and everything and mini camp and all those jazz. There's so much more responsibility as a professional athlete. stiffen than being a college student, a college student athlete. I understand it's Alabama football. It's everything. That's the NFL anyway. It's not the NFL. There's still student athletes and they have requirements academically, and they don't have as much physical requirements throughout the whole year that an NFL player does.
True.
So, you know, that too. You hear guys, you've covered sports a lot longer than me. I mean, guys get hurt all the time.
All the time. In
mini camp and stuff like that. A guy roll an ankle and, oh man, freak injury. It's like it's the first day of camp. Of regular camp in summertime, and the guy, you know, blows his knee out just running drills.
Why do you think they want to get rid of preseason games?
Yeah, exactly.
They're tired of guys getting hurt. And then you get to the Saban reaction here, Taz.
Yeah.
And can you give me a little bit more emotion?
I actually didn't hear this. I heard about it, so I'm interested to hear it. Are we going to play it now? We're going to play it going to break?
Yeah, here is Saban on Tua. Take a listen.
I know that everybody's most interested in Tua's situation. You know, he has a hip injury. It's going to be evaluated. I don't think it's related to any other injury that he had. It's kind of a freak thing that, you know, you seldom see. So I don't really have anything else to say about that. And we'll kind of go from there.
Yeah, Cole Jones. I mean, yeah. Yeah, I actually heard him.
He was walking off the field. We don't have it, but there was another one. And basically talked about the fact, oh, he's hurt. And, you know, that was at the end.
Is that the one where, because I heard him say one where he said, I don't want to see any player hurt, but especially him or something like that.
I heard that one.
I did hear.
Listen, you know, we talked about him weeping. We talked about Jalen Hurts. Right? Did we not remember at that time? You got to give me a little bit more from Saban. I mean, you know, I just need to hear a little bit more emotion. And I get that it's the next man up. It's football. They don't know this. You know, when a guy's screaming in pain, being put on the cart, and basically when
a kid.
Well, a young man, kid.
Yeah, I
understand 21. What you
I know
mean.
He can drink. He's old enough to drink.
But the point being is that when he is biting down on a towel because of the pain that he's in, to have him put on a cart. If you're Nick Saban, Taz, you got to give me a little bit more than acting like it's basically a ho-hum injury. I mean, that you're looking at a player that conceivably, maybe at that time, there was broad speculation that maybe his football career was over.
Mm-hmm.
You got a guy that laid his body on the line for your program.
Yeah, no.
And not a guy that's stepping out. This is not a guy that's sitting out bowl games. Not a guy that's saying, you know what, I'm done, like Bosa did with Ohio State. I'll see you guys all in the National Football League. This is a guy that had surgery twice on a high ankle sprain just to get back on the field quicker than that high ankle in order to bring about a, you know, healing process. Taz, you got to give me a little bit more if you're Nick Saban,
Yeah, you do. And especially the fact that the little brother's on the team.
Yeah.
He's a quarterback, too. Imagine how the family thinks. They're thinking, geez, this is not how the guy acts. You know, when our kid's done all, everything you just laid out, and our youngest son is on the team.
Right.
As a quarterback.
How would you feel? I mean, that's tough.
Pretty cold.
That's tough to take. It really is. Want to hear from you about the Tua injury down at Alabama. You know, what's your take? Should he have been in the game? Should he not have been? Do you agree with Taz and myself? Do you disagree? Do you think he plays in the NFL? Do you think he makes a full recovery? Want to hear from you. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose on this Monday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. Give Taz and the Moose a call. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. And do more brought to you by the Home Depot. Visit homedepot.com for details on flooring, appliances, and bathrooms, home improvements. The Home Depot, more saving, more doing. A player doing more for his team. How about Dak Prescott? He threw for 444 yards and 3 touchdowns as the Cowboys held off the Lions 35-27 in Detroit. At one point in time, the Cowboys were outgaining the Lions 3-1. I mean, it was That game should have been more decisive than it ended up being.
I thought it was going
to
be.
Yeah, so did I. I'm with you. But it was still a Cowboys victory nonetheless. We'll get to your Tua calls here. If you're on hold, hang in there. We'll get to them momentarily. Bogus is here first time this morning. What's up, Andrew?
Moose Taz.
Hello.
Somebody shoot Weird Al. Thank you. Pete, it is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Progressive makes it easy to compare quotes and get a great rate with the Home Quote Explorer only at Progressive.com. It continues to not go well for the Chicago Bears. Two more missed field goals from Eddie Pinheiro, another lackluster performance from QB Mitch Trubisky, and then a post-game injury admission on a 17-7 loss at the Rams on Sunday Night Football. Trubisky, 24 of 43, 190 yards, a touchdown, and a pick, then left in the fourth quarter with a hip injury suffered late in the second quarter.
Just all arm, second half, pretty much. So just trying to fight through the pain and try to make the throws. I felt like I was still putting the ball in some pretty good spots, and just couldn't move around or couldn't buy time.
But the thing is, when Chase Daniel came in, most assumed Trubisky was being benched for his play. Either way, his Bears are now 4-6. They're 4 wins away from the wild card spot. The Rams, meanwhile, are 6-4 after relying on Todd Gurley.
Strong right formation. A bunch of tight ends and Cooper Kupp to that side, leading the way for Gurley, who gets the handoff and hammers it in. Touchdown, Todd Gurley. Touchdown, L.A.
J.B. Long and fireworks on Rams Radio. Gurley got a season-high 25 carries, posted a season-high 133 scrimmage yards. L.A. ran the ball more than ever before in Sean McVay's 3 seasons again to win 17-7. In the afternoon, the normal Patriots offense couldn't do much in Philly, so they got tricky.
White to the right of Brady, off his hip. Edelman motions into the backfield, and then motions out to the right. Brady throws it to him. It's a lateral. Edelman's looking to throw. Under pressure. To the end zone for Dorsett. A strike for a Patriots touchdown.
Bob Sosi, Scott Zolak, Pats Radio. Edelman's touchdown pass to Philip Dorsett put New England ahead for good in the third quarter. They won 17-10. Tom Brady just 216 yards, no TD passes. The Niners rallied past the Cardinals 36-26 to join the Pats at 9-1. The Cowboys outscored the Lions 35-27. The Saints 34-17 winners in Tampa Bay. And the Ravens destroyed the Texans 41-7. That's 6 in a row for Baltimore. 4 more touchdown throws from Lamar Jackson. Deshaun Watson sacked 6 times, turned the ball over twice. Tua Tagovailoa is having right hip surgery today in Houston. The Alabama QB flown there last night after consultation with numerous specialists. Doctors say they expect the full recovery, but aren't saying how long that would take. In the NBA, LeBron, 33 points as the Lakers steamrolled the Hawks, 122-101 at Staples. Atlanta lost there the night before to the Clippers by 49. The Warriors lost their 7th in a row, 108-100 in New Orleans. The Nuggets down the Grizzlies, 131-114. And the Magic outscored the Wizards, 125-121. College Hoops, number 14, Oregon, handled UT Arlington, 67-47. The Vegas Golden Knights snapped the 5-game slide, 6-zip over the Flames. And Kyle Busch won the NASCAR season finale at Homestead Miami Speedway to clinch his 2nd series title. Guys?
All right, thank you there, Haas. We appreciate that.
Thank you, Andrew.
Bogus, very much.
Well done.
Yeah, we're going to go to the calls.
We had a fire out of the gates.
A lot of people. Yeah, great job. See you later. Take care. He can't get out of here quick enough. Good seeing you. We talk a lot about Tua Moose. Let's go. Let's talk to Tony.
He ran out of here like the cops were chasing him.
Somebody was after him. 95.3 FM. Tony's listening over there, Moose.
Yeah.
Tony, what's up?
What's up, Tony?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Good morning, Taz, Moose. Love you guys' show.
Thanks,
so we got
Tony.
A couple quick questions here. Do the kids, do they sign a waiver when they start playing football? And I've heard a lot of talk in other different sportscast shows about malpractice. And is that something that their mom and dad could sue Alabama for? And my other question is, what do you think Oregon, Alabama, or Alabama, Auburn game? You think Auburn has a chance to beat him? I hope they do, because I'd like to see Oregon get in.
Well, one thing, Tony, I'll let you know. Like, the whole thing on what your question, which is a good question about if Tua's parents can file a lawsuit or sue or what have you, Alabama. I don't think so, because a couple things, right? The parents don't sign anything. Like, you know, so when my son went to college to be an athlete, we don't sign nothing. He signs his letter of intent. Then he signs his, you know, his, basically his agreement. It's a contract, the scholarship. So And in there is language that, you know, if you get hurt, you know, it depends on things. There's a lot of gray area in there. But for the most part, you really can't.
I mean, is the university, I have no idea. So, I mean, you would have more of an idea than I would, Taz, because your son was Division I lacrosse player. So, but is the university completely protected? I don't think this is malpractice. I don't look at it, could you conceivably, I guess anything's possible, right? I mean, I guess...
You could sue anyone for anyone in anything.
Right, whether or not it has money,
malpractice
legs.
Right across the board. Doesn't matter how you look at it, malpractice is malpractice. But the question is that something that is deemable? I mean, can you say it's malpractice? Well, define that. You know, that's my whole issue with, you know, Alabama and Nick Saban. And I know Nick Saban, he's a good guy, but... He, like you said, he's patting the stats. He wants to look good when they play Auburn because they don't. If Auburn beats them, they're out. Oregon's in, and I really hope Oregon gets in. But there's my question, guys.
All right, we appreciate it, Tone. Thanks so much. So, I'm saying, I understand his question. First of all, in this case of Tua's parents, they're not going to do that because the other kid's on the team.
Correct.
So they don't want no problems.
I'm curious if Tua's got an insurance policy.
I got to ask my wife because she's.
I would imagine.
I'm trying to think. You're. I remember that we would discuss this with other parents once at a tailgate. And I don't speak out of school, but there are. The people that work at the stadium, the people that work in the concession stand, the coaching staff. The guy driving the John Deere to remove snow, they have more protection insurance-wise during the game than the athletes do. They have more protection. Their employees, either of the school or what have you, the students are student-athletes. They actually have less protection as far as insurance and stuff like that. Then you know what I mean. So that's always a weird thing to me.
But I'm talking about taking out personal insurance.
I don't know. He could take like a Lloyds of London type thing. Yeah,
correct.
I don't know.
There are guys
that
protect themselves that do take out insurance policies when they're expected.
Athletes, though.
No, they have. Yeah.
Okay. I've never heard
especially
that.
Especially when they're
most lacrosse guys aren't doing.
No. Especially when they're supposed to be the number one overall pick. You've seen it with you've seen it in college basketball with NBA prospects, and you've seen it with some prospects in the NFL, especially with quarterbacks. I'm wondering if Tua. Had
some kind of a Lloyds of London insurance
correct.
Plan or something
like
that.
Yeah, just to protect yourself. Now, I mentioned, you know, we talk about coming back, right? Dennis Pitta, tight end. Now, every athlete's a little bit different. Look at the timeline. He got hurt on September 21st, 2014 with the similar type of injury. Every injury is a little bit different, but similar injury.
Right.
He returned to opening day 16.
Yep. Interesting. Very interesting.
I mean,
different than the Bo Jackson
deal.
That's
basically 2 years.
Right.
I mean, you think about it, that's 2 years.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, that's it. And that's how many? What year was Bo Jackson? It was when he got hurt. I don't even remember.
Bo Jackson had to be early 90s, late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, that makes sense. And Pitta played like 6 years in the NFL. I think he came in the league like 2010-ish.
Yeah.
2011.
Good player.
So he had several. Yeah, he was. So he had several years under his belt. His body was a little banged up. Where this is a guy who's 21 years old, you know, so, you know, to me, it's interesting. I don't know.
Bo Jackson was 90. Now everyone's a little bit different. Obviously, it's more taxing on a tight end when you're running as compared to a quarterback. However, you know, Tua's an athletic quarterback, and hopefully it doesn't take him that long. Taz, because I was thinking, if it's going to take him that long, he's not going to declare for April's NFL draft.
No, he might.
Because then
right.
he's going to, and then I would just stay at Alabama, you know, finish out my education and continue to rehab down there at Alabama. I would imagine they would provide you all the necessary things.
Yeah, they would.
And everything you need to do to get back on the football field.
Definitely. And I just looked it up. I was curious. Pitta, when he got hurt, he was 29 years old.
Yeah, so he's a lot older.
Your body has a ticker on.
True.
So when you're an athlete, let's go to Mobile, Alabama. Let's talk to Anthony listening someplace. Anthony, you're on with Taz the Moose. What's up?
Good morning, guys.
How you doing, buddy?
I just wanted to talk about... you all were saying that Nick Saban didn't have any emotion. That was that clip that you all played was from the press conference.
Yeah.
But if you go back and look at when he got interviewed right at halftime, you could look and tell that he was really affected by that. His eyes was watery a little bit, and even Urban Meyer said that that's a hurting coach right now. So I think he showed some emotion.
Anthony, let me interrupt you. Was that the one at halftime where? I can't remember the person who interviewed him said to him, He said to the person that, hey, I don't want any player to get hurt, especially him.
I don't want anybody to get hurt, but especially him.
He did say that. That's what he said. Right, right.
And you could tell that he was really shaken up by it. Matter of fact, I watch every Alabama game that I can. That was my first time ever seeing Coach Saban go onto the field while the training staff was tending to the player. So I think he showed emotion, but I think by the time he got to the press conference, he was able to get himself together and try to, you know, show a stronger front for his team and everybody else. But that's just my opinion.
All right,
I'll hang up and listen to you guys.
Appreciate you, Anthony. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it, man.
Appreciate the call. He's not wrong.
Because I remember seeing that.
Well, I saw the clip of the halftime.
Yeah.
And we don't have that. I asked Mike if we could get it. We do not have that in our archives here. But I thought he could have been a little bit more, to be honest with you. But I know what he said in terms of Tua getting hurt. I get it. I think he was more, to me, when I looked at it, I thought he was more emotional with the Jalen Hurts story than he was Tua getting hurt, if I'm going to judge it. Now, that's my own personal opinion. I look at it and I get it. I just think I could have seen more. And now, mind you, we all have a history. When you look at Nick Saban, this is also a guy when he was the Miami Dolphins head coach. An offensive lineman collapsed in front of him from heat exhaustion, I believe it was, and basically stepped on over him to go get to a meeting. Well, so
I didn't know that one.
Yeah, really? You never knew that?
No, I never knew that.
Yeah, and then the Dolphin players are like, something's wrong with you.
Wow. Really?
Yeah, and he said, and his response was, a leader cannot show any weakness.
Oh, my God.
Something of that. Yes, I swear to you.
That's, like, pretty intense right there.
Yes, yeah.
I can see that happening here.
No, that's a famous Dolphin story. I forget the Dolphins offensive lineman that collapsed in front of him. And then he basically said, he quoted some leader and said, a leader can't show any weakness.
Wow.
And the rest of the team was like, something's wrong with you.
Yeah, that's a little too much. I believe in toughness. That's another level of being a heel.
Yeah.
Wow. Holy cow. I did not know that.
Yes. We'll see if Bisseglia can find the Dolphin player's name. They believe he was an offensive lineman, I believe, if memory serves me right. Man. But anyway you cut it, Tua's going to have the surgery today, Taz. Hopefully it's not 2 years. But like I mentioned before, if it is 2 years, or say if they say the recovery time is 12 months, if I was Tua, I would not enter the NFL draft.
I wouldn't either. Definitely not. I mean, I guess today, you know, once the surgery's done and the doctor will probably, they'll probably have some kind of a presser or something. So, you know, and we'll find out probably definitely more info.
Yeah, Geno James was the offense.
That's who it was. Okay.
Yes, Geno.
Geno James.
Yes, I remember.
That sounds like a work name.
No.
Sounds like a fake name.
What's your buddy's name?
Geno James.
Really?
Who? Yeah, Geno James. Okay.
It does sound like
Like a fake name.
It does sound like a fake name, right. It sounds like a guy that's like in witness protection.
Yeah.
Showing up at like an Arizona 7-Eleven. They're out there.
Arizona.
You got like a thick New York accent. What's your name? Geno James.
Now the cops approach him. Hey, did you steal that? What's your name? Geno. Geno what? James. Okay. That's what it sounds like. A fake name.
It's Taz and the Moose here on this Monday morning. We'll get into the NFL. Kaepernick will touch upon it as well. An interesting Sunday night affair. Interesting Sunday in Week 11 action as well. It's Taz and the Moose on this Monday morning. CBS Sports Radio.
Give Taz and the Moose a call. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, time right now to ask the pros, where you, the listener, get to ask us a question. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Submit your question. Be listening later on the show. We might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service. Where O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every single day. It is Taz and the Moose with you here on this Monday morning. And Taz, I guess when you think about storylines coming out of the Sunday NFL action, I guess number one is you got to think about what the Ravens are doing right now down in Baltimore. And we'll get to the Sunday night affair out in Los Angeles between the Rams. We got a game tonight in Mexico City between the Chargers and the Kansas City Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes back at quarterback for Kansas City for a second straight week. But, you know, Lamar Jackson, you want to talk about a guy that just has basically skyrocketed this year. It is he's an MVP candidate. He's the real deal. He gets better each and every week. He's a tremendous leader. I mean, that entire Baltimore Raven franchise organization, that Baltimore area, is behind number eight. They love him, and rightfully so. He is an amazing young quarterback, where everybody that was critical of him coming out of Louisville has got a tremendous amount of egg on their face. Certainly, he's improved his throwing ability based on what we saw a year ago to what we see now. And the Baltimore Ravens, you could make the argument, and not just based on what they did to New England when they faced them. I'm just talking about overall quality of play and the addition of Marcus Peters in that secondary too. And you look at what that offense is being able to do, the fact that they're able to establish the run, the dominance of the offensive line, Hollywood Brown and the like at the wide receiver position, Mark Andrews at tight end. You can make the easy argument that right now they're the best team through 11 weeks in the AFC.
I mean, what more do they need to do, right? I mean, they really seems like that to me. I mean, and let's throw Mark Ingram in there too. I mean, you went through a plethora of players.
Yep.
He's playing well. I know he didn't get a ton of yards yesterday, but he played well. He was clutch when need be. But no, they're look, as far as Lamar Jackson, he just it's unbelievable. I mean, it really is unbelievable. Look, we saw how awesome he was at Louisville, and everybody was like, yeah, it's not like you just said, not going to happen for him. He can't throw this. Dude, he is unbelievable. He is just lighting it up, and you would think by now these coordinators would figure him out, but he's a tough guy to prepare for because I don't think he knows what he's going to do half the time. He just does. And credit to the coaches, staff, Harbaugh and crew, they just let him wing it. They just let him do his thing, it seems like. And it's very loosey-goosey, it seems. The offense, it's just unpredictable. They are a very fun team to watch. I mean, if you're a Texans fan, yes, you didn't have fun watching. You got spanked. They spanked a really, you know,
A
good team. I want to say a really, really good team, but like a good team.
They spanked the team that they were a four-point favorite over and beat them by 34 points.
Exactly.
I mean, that's a whooping. That really is. I mean, I think I tweeted out that they took the Texans' soul yesterday. I mean, they really did. I mean, they embarrassed the Houston Texans down in Baltimore, Taz. And, you know, Lamar Jackson had over 300 yards of total offense, 222 through the air, 86 on the ground. They had four touchdowns in the game. And he is, here's what I go back to that Seattle game and referencing that game a lot. But, you know, there was a back and forth between him and his head coach, John Harbaugh, in that game, in which there was a fourth down play and he comes to the sideline and he's yelling, and not yelling at the coach, but kind of a spirited conversation and saying, you know, let's go for it, coach. And he's like, you want to go for it? He goes, yeah, let's go for it, coach. He goes, all right, let's go for it.
Yeah.
And they went for it and they got it. And regardless if they converted the fourth down or not, Taz, what it shows you is the belief that Harbaugh has in his young quarterback.
That's great. Yeah.
And that is what you want to see. That's what emboldens players. That's what leads to growth of young players in the National Football League is the belief, the confidence that you show in them. That's going to come out tenfold on the football field or really in any walk of life. It's amazing what people can do when they have confidence in themselves, right?
Oh, yeah.
And you're seeing that with Lamar Jackson here. He went to an organization that believed in his talents, that didn't think he needed to move to wide receiver or running back or do anything else, believed in him as an NFL quarterback, remarkably so, to where when they made that change from him to Joe Flacco, they did not go back. And it was his team. It was his franchise. When they said he'll get better throwing the football, he's gotten better. He's worked his rear end off to where now he is one of the more dynamic watches in the National Football League. You want to see Lamar Jackson play football. You want to see him play because you don't know what you're going to get play in and play out. And he's a remarkable young player, and he's fun to watch.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, man. He's unpredictable. And that whole team, they feed off his energy. I mean, they really do. They feed off his energy, and it's something to see. I mean, it's really exciting to see. I know, Mark Ingram. I think we have the sound here too.
Yeah, here's Ingram.
Yeah, you check this out.
MVP front runner. If anybody else got to say something different about that, then come see me.
Yeah,
I'm right here in B-more outside the bank. If you got an issue with that, come see me.
Whoopie.
I'm about that.
Whoopie.
Big trust. Woo woo. Lamar Jackson in the flesh.
Yes, sir.
Trust.
Well, so just so people understand, like for Andrew Bogus listening to the newsroom, be more, that means Baltimore.
Yeah.
It's just a little slang chatter, just trying to help him out. Yeah, Mark Ingram loves his quarterback.
Oh, loves his quarterback. Here's Lamar Jackson himself talking about the fact they're tuning out all the noise. Take a listen.
I never tried to defend myself before. I really don't care what they say. You know, my guys know. You know, week in, week out, you know, we practicing. We see it. I know if I wasn't doing my job, Junior on the team, you know, and he's on the end. So I really don't care what the data say. You know, I'm just going to keep playing ball. And I'm with my guys regardless.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing not to like.
He's got great energy, man.
There's no doubt about it. And it's infectious, and that entire team is taking off. And he defines, and it's difficult to do, Taz, because not all that long ago, Ray Lewis, you know, remember, was Peter Boulware. It was the great Ed Reed. You look at it was defensive players that you mixed in some offensive players, right? You mixed in Joe Flacco, or you mixed in a Ray Rice at the time. But really, kind of, it was all about what B-more was defined by was defense.
Now you're saying B-more.
Correct. Wow. Was defensive players, Taz. Now you look at it, Lamar Jackson has changed that completely changed that franchise to where it's not the defense that leads the way, it's the offense. It's the quarterback that leads the way. The defense is not nearly as dominant as it once was, but the offense is explosive and dominant. It all starts with number 8, and it's fun to watch. When you know, it's kind of interesting when you see an organization completely change who they are based on one player, and it takes really kind of that transformational player to be able to do that. And Lamar Jackson is just that.
Yeah, he is. I mean, he's basically what Pat Mahomes was last year. He's this year. It's that same type of feel, right? It's that same type of vibe and feel. I'm not comparing player to player from the Chiefs to the Ravens, but I'm just saying, like, it's that same type of feel that Mahomes had last year. You know, Lamar Jackson has this year, and now next up for them is the Rams. You know, who's victorious last night. So, you know, that should be an interesting battle. That should be a good AFC-NFC matchup right there. So, and then I believe Baltimore goes to Los Angeles, so that should be a good battle.
No, it should be. You're right. But, I mean, you know, we mentioned it before. I mean, you look at the rest of the AFC, you know, right now, I understand we're approaching, going to get to week 12, coming your way Thursday night. We've still got one game to go later on tonight in week 11. But when you look at Baltimore, it's Baltimore, right? In the AFC, you got the Pats at 9-1. Your Bills are 7-3.
Yeah.
The Indianapolis Colts and Texans are both 6-4. We just saw what they did to the Houston Texans. Don't you think? I mean, hasn't the two teams completely changed from when you saw Baltimore and Kansas City earlier on in the year? Remember Baltimore going for it each and every time on fourth down?
Yep.
You know, but right now, Baltimore is by far a better football team than the Kansas City Chiefs. They're better than the Oakland Raiders.
Holy.
They are. And, you know, I had questions maybe like a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. I said, I don't trust Baltimore to go into New England. I'll tell you, man, that New England offense, there's nothing really to write home about.
No, you said that a while ago. You were right.
Yeah, they went into Philadelphia yesterday. I don't know, and that's coming off a bye week. Yeah. They didn't look explosive at all.
I watched the game, man. It was not, you know, look, they got the Eagles got out-coached. That's what happened. And they really did. I mean, defensively, they just got out-coached. It wasn't anything. It wasn't like Brady was lighting it up or nothing like that. You know what I mean? I don't want to sit here. I mean, I knock Brady enough, but I'm just saying, like, it wasn't. You're right. The offense is this. For them to be as dominant as they normally are, the Pats, they I don't think they can. I just don't think this year they have the weapons offensively. I think it's different for Brady. I think the O-line is not as how it's been in the past. Again, defense, you can't say nothing about their defense. They're excellent. But, you know, I mean, I don't want to sit there and say Brady was horrible. It just didn't seem the same. You know,
they're not nearly as explosive.
No, they're not. They're not.
In any way, shape,
and I got to be, let me interrupt you. I got to say, because I forget. Wentz, let me just tell you something. Okay, this guy here, like, in the fourth quarter when it's clutch time, you got to throw the football to people's hands.
Yes.
Or near their body.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean,
geez,
dude, I got to tell you.
He
was 20 or 40. I'm looking at it now, but. Well, if someone didn't see that game and watched him, you go watch him in that clutch moments where they could have won this game more than once, the Eagles.
Don't disagree.
It's on Wentz.
Don't disagree. He was bad in the second half.
He
was very, very bad in the second half. And when the Patriots are running trick plays in the red zone to score touchdowns, That shows you how inefficient your offense is.
The double pass with Edelman. Correct. And by the way, my man Romo, he called that before it even happened, bro.
Romo's great.
He called it before it happened.
No, I understand that. Romo's great.
He goes, get ready. Something. Trick play coming.
I understand.
There it was. There it was unbelievable. He's the man, bro.
Yes, he is very good. Man. He does a good job. I know you love Romo.
He's the best.
We'll get into the Colin Kaepernick saga that transpired on Saturday surrounding the National Football League. We'll get into that as well. We'll do that next. It's Taz and the Moose on a Monday morning. CBS Sports Radio.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
What if everything you learn in history class was only half the story? I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets mysterious. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, paranormal phenomena, and events that science still can't fully explain. On Hidden History, I treat these moments like open case files. Not myths, not superstition, just incomplete explanations waiting for a closer look. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.